Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Defender by J. David Baxter. Narrated by A. W. Miller. Chapter 1. Energy crossed the void between universes. It had no consciousness. It was just information and a soul encoded in a form of energy that could survive in the place between, at least for a time. Though it had no mind, it did have a target and programmed instructions. Its target was the universe that housed Earth, and the time was a day after Nate had initially left. For a mindless construct, it came pretty close to its target. Upon arrival and transition into the space-time of the universe, it carried out the remainder of its pre-programmed instructions. It created a new body and clothed it with identical items to what Nate had been carrying. They were built atom by atom like he had been rematerialized by a transporter or replicator. Unlike its point of origin, however, this place did not have a rich abundance of mana. It had to power the reconstruction through its own energy and what meager residual mana was left in the area. Consequently, Nate's items arrived, but they were no longer filled with mana and needed to be recharged. It took all that was available just to assemble all he carried. Several hours after his arrival, Nate opened his eyes and immediately recognized his room. He was home, but didn't know what to do with himself now. He had barely regained thought and began to feel a great sense of relief at being home before memories tried to wash over him from dozens of different lives. Memories of what it felt like to come home after being gone for a long time. Memories of waking up after being sick and near death. Memories of trying to get home to loved ones he had missed while away at war. He clamped his eyes shut, trying to block out the cacophony of competing visions, but the darkness behind his eyelids made it worse. He opened his eyes and looked around, desperate for something to take his mind off the past and focus on his immediate surroundings. What should I do first? He called out Elizabeth's name, but there was no answer. He was a little surprised, given that the lights were on in the apartment. Failing that, he was at a loss. He had taken his cell phone with him to Greymantle and hadn't seen it in 3 years. How was he supposed to call Els? No one had a landline these days. As he lay there on the bed, he remembered being Mara. That must have been his most recent life before this one. She had been amazed by the telephone and so excited to have a line connected to her apartment. She was young, like he was, and had just moved to the big city a few months before. Maybe it was Nate's dark mood, but his memory of her went straight to her untimely end. She had been killed, attacked at a party. She was pulled into a back room by a handsome man with a strange, dark charisma to him, and her excitement turned to horror as he slashed her wrist with something sharp. She had laid dying on a bed, looking at the room around her just as he was doing now.
No!
He jumped off the bed, almost as if reacting to that attack, but then got himself under control. He needed to focus on the here and now, not lives lost that he could do nothing about. They were dead now, and it was in the past. Even so, they were still part of him, like his own ghosts and those memories he had created with his actions in this life. He couldn't tell the difference between the memories except that those from his own lifetime felt newer, more vibrant. Focusing on the mundane, he tried to find clothes to change into, but his jeans wouldn't fit, and all his t-shirts were skin tight over the muscles he had put on over the last 4 years or so. It was hard to keep track, since a year on Greymantle was longer than the one on Earth. He settled for a pair of sweatpants and pulled on an old pair of sneakers when he heard the front door open. He called out,
"Els, is that you?"
There was a high-pitched squeak of surprise, followed by a blur as his sister flew into the room, threw her arms around his neck and squeezed like she would never let go.
"Oh my God, you are home! I thought you were lost forever. What the hell was that, by the way? You faded out like Scotty was beaming you up, only it happened in super slow motion."
She stepped back, confusion on her face as she looked him up and down.
Nate, that is you, isn't it?"
He couldn't help but smile. "Of course it's me. It's just not the me you remember. For me, it's been a lot longer than for you. By the way, how long have I been gone?" Seeing that she was safe relieved a lot of fear and worry that had built over the time he had been gone. It made his inner world seem just a bit brighter for it. She looked skeptical, but answered,
4 days? Well, 3.5.
You left the morning of June 6th just like those damned dreams always said. You just didn't leave by any normal means. She was about to stop talking when his words sunk in.
Hey, what do you mean it's been longer for you?
Looking at his sister reminded him of that time he had returned from a trading expedition. His younger sister, Ciara, had pestered him about his trip. She had always wanted to know everything and loved when he would bring her ornaments for her hair. Nate shook off the unwelcome memory of another life and tried to focus on the world around him.
It's been about 4 years for me. I'm not exactly sure since they count weeks and months differently. I was magically kidnapped to another world, only I never found out who did it or why.
He redirected the conversation, not wanting to get into what had happened to him yet.
What about you? I've been worried about you this whole time. I tried to target as close to the time I left as possible, but I was off by a couple days. I wasn't sure how good my aim would be considering I was traveling through the void between universes and time flows at different rates.
Worried about me? Are you nuts? I'm fine. You were the one stolen from their bedroom in the middle of the night, like some bad alien abduction drama.
She smirked and added,
You didn't get probed, did you? Tell me everything.
That was the last thing Nate wanted to do right then. Between what he had done in the arena and the loss of another person he cared about, he didn't want to think about anything. All he wanted was to sink his teeth into a good burger and said as much.
Fine, let's go get some food, but you are going to tell me everything.
He worked up the energy to smile.
Okay, have it your way.
They got to Ye Olde Butcher Shop just before the grill closed and placed an order. They were the only people there besides the owner and his son, wearing their ever-present cowboy hats and cleaning up for the day. He wanted their buffalo burger with cheddar cheese. It had been so long, and he'd been craving that since he left Earth. Nate decided he was going to need to find an equivalent to cheddar cheese once he got back to Greymantle. The burgers at the Champion's Blade just weren't the same without it. While they ate, he told her how he had taught the cooks at the tavern near the castle how to cook earth foods and how burgers and pizza had become very popular. He enjoyed talking about the fun stuff, but clammed up as he got near painful subjects, like his friends. He didn't want to think about that right now, but deep down, he knew getting back to save them was one of the only things that gave him the courage to not buckle under the weight of it all. Els must have sensed it because she just listened and asked questions to keep him talking but didn't press when he would change the subject. He knew her well enough to know she was not missing anything. She would want to talk about the things he was avoiding but gave him time to adjust to being back. When they were done eating, Nate asked Els to take a picture with him, posing in front of the stuffed buffalo that jutted out of the wall. He used the sapphire data crystal in which he had kept all his other information. He had even recorded images of Balan's village before he had left and showed those to his sister. She was awed at the precious gemstone that would be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars here on Earth and how it could store and display information. That led to a discussion about magic items. He told her about all the different enchanted things he had owned and seen.
I really wish I had my storage ring with me so I could bring hundreds of these burgers back to Greymantle. Then I wouldn't have to worry about cravings. I would just pull one out any time.
Els made a face.
Ew, wouldn't they get old and gross?
Chuckling, he described how time didn't flow inside a storage device because the storage space existed outside the space-time of the universe.
Basically, the second it goes in, it is frozen in time and doesn't change at all until you withdraw it. I could stick one of these burgers in there, and 10 years from now I'd pull it out and it would still be just as hot and juicy as the second it came off the grill. Note to self, buy a bunch of cheddar cheese.
Then an idea hit him. When he had talked with Dorvin about taking a storage ring between universes before, he had been a novice at magic. He hadn't understood fully how such devices worked. Now, however, he had a vast magical knowledge base downloaded into his brain. Or my DNA or something, he thought. He knew he was spacing out and not responding to his sister, but his brain was on fire, sifting through the magical knowledge trying to understand the implications of traveling with a storage ring. To his surprise, the more he considered it, the less sure he became that it wasn't doable, and the bigger the grin on his face grew. If he could really do it, it would be like having a cheat code in a game to give yourself unlimited storage. You wouldn't have to have enough mana to rebuild everything on the other side, because all the junk you transported would be in a different dimension entirely. It wouldn't even be that hard. The only downside was that he wouldn't be able to access the storage space until the ring recharged with mana upon arrival. Finally, Els couldn't take it any longer.
What? What are you thinking about?
With a bit of wonder and awe in his voice, he said, I think I can do it.
Do what?
She clearly wanted in on his thoughts.
Make a storage ring. It's like a magic inventory bag from the RPG games or the TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside because the space inside is not really part of the same space-time you occupy. It's only tethered to the object by mana, which has no problem existing outside the regular dimensions of the universe.
She grinned expectantly.
Okay, sounds cool. When you gonna make me one?
That question brought Nate back to reality, and he frowned.
Well, crap. I hadn't even thought about it until now.
He gestured around the place, really giving it a good look. Since arriving back on Earth and waking up a couple hours ago, he had been too busy with all the other thoughts crowding into his brain to think about mana.
I can see tiny traces of mana, but it's in such small amounts it would take me weeks to gather enough power to create something like a storage ring.
Not having mana to draw on gave him a sick feeling in his guts. He had promised himself he would never be without mana again after what had happened in the arena. Except here he was, back on Earth, and there was only enough energy in the entire restaurant to cast the most basic light spell.
I'd like to go now.
They had finished eating a few minutes before, so Els shrugged.
Sure, I'll drive again, though. You haven't driven in way too long.
That actually made him laugh.
You just want to drive my new truck again.
Her guilty grin said he'd hit the mark. She didn't deny it, though.
Okay, yeah. It's a really sweet truck. Gas mileage isn't great, but it's so much better than that old clunker you used to drive.
Hey, don't diss the orange blur.
He laughed at the argument they always had about his old Honda CRX.
The only thing making that heap of junk blur is the sweat that gets in your eyes in the summertime, because it sure isn't speed.
Els couldn't help but get one last dig in. It felt good to be back with Els and know she was safe. He had to grab onto the side of his truck as another memory surfaced. He was a twin and seeing his brother for the first time in several years due to living in different cities. They would get back together every year or two, and it would be just like this. No matter how long they had been apart, they could fall back into the same old jokes and arguments as if they had never parted. He shook it off, but tossed Els the keys.
Okay, so maybe you'd better drive.
She was very serious as she asked,
What was that, Nate? You look like you saw a ghost or had a seizure or something. What just happened?
He waved it away, not wanting to talk about it, and tried to smile.
I'll tell you tomorrow. Right now, I just want to hang out and forget everything. Just for a little while.
Chapter 2 Every night since the arena, his dreams were filled with memories of other lives playing through his mind. Some were happy and pleasant, like hunting in the Rhine forest with his favorite dog. While others were more like nightmares, being a street thief in India and having his hand cut off when caught, then living the rest of that short life as a starving beggar. He woke the following day in a cold sweat, remembering the last dream of the night. In it, his best friend had sold him out to the Inquisition as a secretly practicing Jew to save himself. If only he had fled to Portugal with the rest of his family the year before, he would have avoided a gruesome death, a death that Nate remembered vividly because his past self had experienced every excruciating minute of it. Not that he had always been a good person. He had many memories in which he was on the wrong side of history and had done terrible things to good people. He was tortured even more when remembering those memories than of being on the receiving end. If he wasn't sure these were actual memories, he would believe he was going crazy. Unfortunately, he was absolutely certain. He could not know the things he did in those memories if they weren't real. Worse, he was actually able to look up records of his most recent life before this one. Mara Blackwood lived in Edinburgh, Scotland, 1868 to 1892. When he did a web search on her, he even discovered an article about her dying under mysterious circumstances, but that her body had not been found. There was even a picture. She looked exactly as she did in his memory. He even remembered the day she sat for that photograph, and how she had primped for it, and how nervous she had been. Getting your photograph taken had been a big deal in those days. That morning, he also tested himself, and sure enough, he could read the hieroglyphs on ancient Egyptian artifacts. It wasn't the translation magic at work. He could remember being there and studying how to write. In one life, he had even been a tomb artist, carving the figures into the limestone of the pharaoh's mastaba. That was in the days before the pyramids. Of course, that man had been illiterate and only copied in stone what he was shown by the priests. The whole thing baffled him. He didn't know why this had happened. He had no idea if other humans were reincarnated over and over the way he had been. There were undoubtedly religions in which that was a tenet of their faith. But why had he remembered these past lives, and why now? Did it have something to do with the magic that took him to Greymantle and changed him? Too many questions and too few answers.
"You look like crap, Nate. What's going on? I can tell something's bothering you."
Els was blunt when she woke and joined him for a bowl of cereal at the kitchen table. Knowing his sister, she would not give up until he spilled the beans. He sighed and started telling her his story from the beginning. The whole story. He told her about accidentally drawing the attention of a blood mage on his first day on the New World and his flight from the city. He spoke of Joram and how much his mentor meant to him despite their short time together. Then he told of Joram's death. He didn't spare any details either, from being stabbed repeatedly by the blood mage to shooting him with their father's pistol and his subsequent ride for his life to the town of Crossing. On and on it went. He described his friends, who had become as close as family in their time together in the guard, about becoming a knight and being forced to choose between magic and the sword. He described Ren and his relationship with her and the depth of his feelings for her. He admitted how difficult their parting had been and his uncertainty of whether they might ever have a chance to be together. He pulled out the sapphire and showed her the images of him and Ren, Prince Valdrin and Princess Eris, Tanithil and Merrily. Then of his heartbreak the next day, when Ren had announced her need to return to the Elven nation and not see him anymore because of her position as heir. Through it all, Els paid rapt attention to his story. She delighted in his successes and happiness and was angered by the danger and pain he had experienced. Then he told her what had come next, of how his friends had been captured and what he had decided to do about it. The decision had been made on the spur of the moment, but it had changed his life. She interrupted.
"Holy crap, Nate, you pulled a Bill and Ted,"
she considered for a second.
"Wait, no, you're still in the middle of that, aren't you? You still have to get back to rescue them."
He nodded sadly. "Yeah. The upside is, I did learn everything I needed to know about fighting and magic while I was back in Greymantle's past. Just not the way I had expected." He then launched into the rest of the story, of how the Great Empire turned out to be the Evil Empire instead, and what he had done to survive. He talked about Balon's training, how much it had kicked his ass, and how long he had been there.
"That's nuts, Nate. You spent over 3 years in that time, and more than two-thirds of it was basically boot camp?"
She looked shocked, but then eyed him with new respect.
"That's why you are so buff now. Damn, that's a hell of a harsh way to get in shape."
"You're telling me." He laughed, and it felt good to have someone to talk to again. Balon had been a friend and teacher, but he was almost pathologically quiet and untalkative. He sobered again as he spoke of the heist and what had happened in its aftermath. It was hard to talk about losing Elaithan, then being captured by the Bane after returning to the village. Then, worst of all, the pits and the arena. He had spent 4 years imagining how great it would be to get back to Earth and be able to do magic here and to see his sister again, his only real family. It wasn't great. What should feel triumphant instead felt miserable. Nate found it hard to look his sister in the eyes, knowing what terrible things he had done and how many deaths he had been responsible for. She was innocent, and her biggest goal in life was to help people. He had wanted to free enslaved people and had ended up killing hundreds instead. It was all too much. He was being assaulted on one side by memories of lives before his own trying to overwhelm him. Worse, however, were the memories that were his own, those he wished he could escape. "It's my fault, Els. I killed 100 people in the arena and 1,000 more unintentionally when I destroyed the place." Tears were streaming down his face by that point in the retelling.
"I'm an effing mass murderer, and that's not even considering how many thousands of Bane must have been in the city. They were evil and deserved it, but still, I did it. I was the one who killed them all."
She hugged him then, and he buried his face in her shoulder and wept. He couldn't hold it in or keep it together any longer. It all just poured out, and he couldn't hold it back. Putting it all into words was like releasing the floodwaters from a dam. He didn't know how long they had sat there, like that, with him crying it out, but eventually she asked a question.
You said something happened, and now you've got the memories of 100 lifetimes?
She looked sad for him.
Geez, Nate, all that on top of what you had to do? That's a lot. No wonder you're messed up.
He chuckled then. What she said struck him as funny. In the aftermath of releasing all that pent-up emotion, he couldn't stop himself. The chuckles turned into laughter, and pretty soon he couldn't stop. Somehow, sharing what he had gone through felt like a release. It was like someone had lifted the weight of the world off his shoulders, even if only for a little while. Nate knew he would still struggle with what he had done for the rest of his life, but somehow he knew he would get through it now. Not just because lives depended on him, but because those very same people would be there to pull him back from the darkness. He squeezed Elle's hand.
Thanks, sis. I'm in a dark place, and talking it out with you let some light in. I needed that.
Elizabeth smiled knowingly.
I know it's been 4 years or something for you, but don't forget, I plan to study psychology in college. I want to help people who are struggling like we were when we were kids, and like you are right now.
Smiling in return, he said, If you are half as good with your patients as you were listening to me today, then you will be an awesome shrink. She mock scowled at him.
I don't think that's the most positive word for psychologists.
Fair point, Dr. Ells, he chuckled.
Speaking of which, do you plan to take some college classes while still in high school to get a head start?
She didn't hesitate for a second as she shook her head definitively.
Nope, I'm going with you to Greymantle.
Chapter 3 Nate felt like he couldn't have heard her correctly.
You are what? I am going with you when you go back there to rescue your friends.
She calmly and confidently replied.
Hang on. Weren't you listening to my story all morning? I was almost constantly in danger, and people still want to kill me. If you go, they will target you because you're my sister, and they'll do it just to hurt me. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
She was serene as she answered, as if there were absolutely zero doubt in her mind that she would be safe.
You just went on this epic journey through time to learn all the skills you need to save your friends and stop the bad guys. Do you think you can't stop them now that you have these skills?
Well, no. With time being on my side, I'm sure I can rescue them and expose the treasonous douche and his minions. He frowned and added, But the danger won't end with them. This will be strike two against the bleeders. They wanted me dead already. After this, they will be foaming at the mouth in their desire to hurt me.
And you'll stop them again, whatever it takes.
She literally put her foot down.
I'm going, and that's final. Can you really tell me you'd rather live here on Earth after going there? I could tell from your story that you love the place and only came back here because you thought I was in trouble.
She smiled and added,
Thanks for that, by the way. I was starting to panic. You were gone for 4 days and I couldn't call the cops and report you missing since they would never believe the truth.
He chuckled. Oh, yeah, especially after the recent purchases and cashing out such a decent chunk of the insurance money that was supposed to be my college fund. You'd have been the prime suspect in any investigation. She paled, considering his words.
Good thing I'm going with you next time, then.
Nate sighed. He knew Els too well to think she would change her mind, but he had to give it at least one try.
Are you sure? What about being a doctor to help people? What about your friends? What about Aunt Marcy? Auntie M will be relieved not to be a mother to me anymore. She's loved us, but she never wanted to be responsible for us, and plus, she's got her whole friend circle that she is so tight with.
She held up one finger with each point she made.
As for my friends, I'll miss them, but we would have graduated after next year anyway and gone our separate ways to colleges and stuff. Your last point is the weakest. I can help people on Greymantle just as easily as here. Besides, didn't you tell me the Healers Guild will take anyone and train them?
Dang, you really thought this through. That was fast.
Fine, you can come with me, but you have to stay safe. I would lose my freaking mind if you got killed or hurt because of me.
The thought of her being targeted by the blood mages felt like a gut wound.
Are you kidding? I'm not going to let you go off and have all the fun.
She gave him a questioning look and asked,
So, when do we leave?
He couldn't help but laugh.
I don't know. There's a lot I need to do here before we go. I have to build mana batteries, which will probably take months. Assuming I can even scrape together enough mana to enchant them, then we would have to fill them with mana. I won't be able to cast the travel spell without those.
Still, we need to do a lot of mundane stuff first, like getting our affairs in order and coming up with some good excuse for why we disappear. We don't want Auntie M to take the fall for it, the way you almost did. She swallowed hard.
Oh, yeah, that would really suck. She's been good to us since Mom and Dad died. I wouldn't want to put her through that. We should really leave her some of our inheritance, too. I know she was part of the will, too, and got money for raising us. But still, she didn't have to put her life on hold for us that way, but she did because we're family.
Nate agreed. No argument from me. She definitely deserves it. Probably best if we take most of it with us, though. I have a house there, but you'll need money to rent some place of your own, and houses are ridiculously expensive there, especially in Daggerport where the Healers Guild is, or so I've heard. He hastened to add, Of course, you can stay with me as long as you want. I have a spare bedroom and you'll need to get settled in and learn about the world before you go off to school or whatever it is that the healers do with their apprentices. Grinning, she smacked him on the shoulder.
See, I always knew you were bright.
Then she laughed at his expression.
Seriously, Nate, I really want to see all this stuff you've told me about, even if it means I can never come back here. I'll miss my friends, but I know people lose track of each other after high school. And I was planning to go out of state for my degree, so I knew I'd be saying goodbye after the school year. I'll just be leaving a bit earlier than I planned.
She looked sad, and Nate felt terrible for her. But it was clear her mind was made up, so he knew better than to try and make her change it. The conversation had done wonders for his mood, but a lot was still weighing on him. He was thinking about all the things that would be needed, and first and foremost was his fear of being without mana. Tomorrow, I want to drive around the city and see if I can't find more mana. I feel nervous about being without enough to cast even a light spell. Basically, my staff is a wizard's staff, and it can store mana. He thought the idea of getting out and driving around in his new truck would do him some good. Plus, if he could fill up the staff, he would be a lot less worried. Now that he had all that magic knowledge in his head, he wanted to create some magic items to make life easier and safer. Els gave him a strange look, then spoke.
I saw your staff and sword on the bed yesterday when I got here, but what's the deal with that big wooden barrel next to the bed?
He chuckled at the question.
That, little sister, is a full barrel of Balon's best whiskey, aged 5 years so far. It might not rank up there with the best scotches on earth, but I think it will be very valuable once I get back to Greymantle, although I doubt I'll ever sell it. It reminds me of my teacher.
She smiled indulgently at his evident pride in bringing it back with him.
Are you going to be able to get enough mana to take everything with us?
He sobered quickly at the question.
Honestly, I don't know. At this point, I'm not entirely sure I'll be able to scrape enough mana together to get myself back there, but I have to figure out a way because my friends will die if I don't.
I hope the drive around the area tomorrow will give me a better idea about that once I see how much mana I can gather into the staff. It's a shame Earth isn't a more magical place.
His sister's eyebrows drew down in thought. Hang on. What you just said made me think. Don't people always talk about certain places and say they seem magical? Like Stonehenge and the pyramids, or like ancient forests and waterfalls and stuff?
Nate blinked in surprise and his eyes got big. Holy crap, Els, you're right. I mean, I don't know if they really are magical, or if people just say that because they feel awed by them, but that's worth checking out.
She whipped out her cell phone and her thumbs flew like lightning over the tiny virtual keyboard. A few seconds later, she held it up triumphantly, showing him the screen.
A quick search of the most magical places in Texas comes back with the Fort Worth Botanical Gardens at the top of the list. That's only an hour or so away.
He laughed, and it felt good.
Damn, I've missed you, sis. You are too sharp.
He thought about it for a second.
Okay, it's the middle of the afternoon now. It's too late to go there today, but I need to deal with some mundane stuff anyway. I left my cell phone on Greymantle, and since we'll be here a while, I need to get a replacement. Plus, I'd like to take a laptop and some other cool gadgets with me that don't exist there. Obviously, there won't be internet or cell service, but I can power them with mana and still play games on them or watch movies on the big screen. Speaking of which, I plan on loading up a big old hard drive with my entire music and movie collections, and I suggest you do the same. They don't have much by way of modern entertainment over there. There are musicians, artists, and something like stage plays enhanced with illusion magic, but no TV, radio, or anything like that.
Don't forget books. Load up your drive with all the digital copies of your favorite stories. I've got my e-reader app on my phone and use it all the time.
She waved the phone around enthusiastically.
Good point.
He thought for a second, then said, Okay, so if you are cool with it, let's load my staff into the backseat of the truck and you can chauffeur me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?